for the day, United States v. Costello, Mr. Schultz.
May it please the Court, Counsel for the Government, Todd Schultz, Assistant Federal Public Defender, representing the defendant appellant. Defendant challenges the sufficiency of the evidence underlying her conviction for harboring an illegal alien pursuant to 8 U.S.C. 1324A1A3. The evidence in this case is insufficient to support her conviction because more than merely providing shelter is necessary to violate the harbor provision.
Well, what is the standard you would advocate?
The standard we're suggesting, Your Honor, is that it is something greater than merely providing shelter, that there would have to be...
That's not very helpful. Can you be more precise?
Yes, sir. That there would have to be an element of secreting, that the shelter that is provided be clandestine, that it would be designed to conceal or hide the illegal alien's presence in the United States.
So, not to put words in your mouth, but it seems to me that what you are arguing for is a principle similar to the one that the Supreme Court used in Begay, namely that this little list of harboring and concealment and shielding are all supposed to be in the same family of words. It's not that they are exact synonyms of each other, but... to use the Latin phrase nocitur associis, you know, that the words are, that they're all similar, and that the government is taking harboring as just a synonym for letting live with, and that's too different from the other words to withstand scrutiny.
Your Honor, I think you summarized my argument better than I would have put it myself. I do think that when you look at the words... First off, we start with the position that the word harbor is ambiguous in the statute because there are alternate meanings, one being to give shelter or refuge to.
Well, suppose, what would you do with this case? Suppose you have a restaurant in Chinatown, Chinese restaurant, and its waiters are illegal immigrants, and the restaurant owner provides them with housing. He doesn't really do anything about concealment because no one's particularly interested. The authorities are not interested in this neighborhood, right? Now, is that harboring?
Your Honor, I think based on the limited facts that the court has just set forth, if there's no effort to conceal the fact that they are living at that residence, then no, I don't believe...
Yeah, well, I disagree with you. I think if you want to give separate means to conceal and shield... And harboring, yeah, harboring would be a situation where you're really making a contribution to immigrant, labor in the United States. You're employing these people, you pay them very little, and you provide them with housing. Yeah, that keeps them here and so forth. And that seems to me the kind of abuse of the that Congress might be concerned with. That, of course, isn't involved here, right?
Your Honor, that we may disagree on that particular point, but that's far from the facts before the district court in this case, where what we're talking about is the defendant permitting her long-term boyfriend, whom she knows to be in the United States illegally, to reside
now,
with her.
Now, in my example, of course, with the restaurant, they really want, alien workers because they pay them less. Does she have something special about aliens? If this fellow was a citizen, would she think, no, my boyfriends are always illegal immigrants or what?
Your Honor, this case was submitted to the district court on stipulated facts. It's basically a two-page stipulation of facts. And so with respect to the court's question, there aren't facts in the record that would be on point.
That she's an activist and is trying to help immigrants and by
I thought the facts
having
in the record.
Romantic relations with them or something. Is it anything like that?
Your Honor, I guess that question, the court had very limited facts upon which to make its finding of guilt or innocence or not guilty in this case, and whether she was an activist would be mere speculation based on the record before the district court.
But I thought the district court did know that this relationship with Rogelio was of long standing. He had lived with her at that very address when he was in the U.S. before. Then he goes to prison. He's removed. He comes back, and he moves right back in again with her to the same residence. So I'm not sure how strong an inference to take from that, but we do know that Ms. Costello and Rogelio Salices Arenales have had a longstanding relationship.
That is accurate, Your Honor. That is reflected in the stipulation of facts, and I think what that demonstrates is that they've had a long-term romantic relationship. But as to whether or not that would indicate her being some type of activist, I don't think that that's a reasonable inference to be drawn from the limited stipulation of facts. And I also don't know that that's necessarily pertinent to whether or not harbor requires more than merely providing shelter. And whether
I thought you were arguing that the opposite, though, had happened, in that when Rogelio was arrested before, he gave them her address as his place of residence before he was deported. And then he moved back in again to that very same place. So if they were looking for him, they knew just where to find him.
Well, right. I mean,
so it's being open.
Right. Well, I mean, we're certainly suggesting that on the limited facts and the stipulation that there is absolutely no evidence that she in any way attempted to conceal his presence in her home or to hide the fact that he lived there, and that...
Yeah, but that's concealing and shielding, right?
Well,
see, I think these are three separate worlds. It has three separate meanings. Yes, you can maybe overlap, and maybe they could be applied to both terms. But with harboring, giving shelter, and frankly, it's her home, which does give it an aura of privacy where somebody just can't barge in. So being in someone's home does give some aura of security, it would seem, and harboring in that position. So by just sheltering him, where otherwise he's on the street, and she, of course, picked him up, which is one added factor here. This wasn't something that was inadvertent. He just didn't show up. She went and got him, helped him in there. I don't care about the interstate thing. But that's what why is this not harboring?
Well, Your Honor, we believe that the reason it's not harboring is because simply providing shelter isn't what we believe is meant by the usage of the word harbor in the statute. We believe it has to have some clandestine
element. Well, you think it has to have shielding or concealing thrown in?
Well,
what about just protecting the concept of asylum or protection? And then you'd have to ask whether letting someone live in your house satisfied that. I mean, a harbor is a place where a boat goes to stay away from the storm.
Well, I think when you look at the three independent ways in which this subsection of the statute can be violated, I don't think that in offering someone a place to stay, that is on par with knowingly concealing that person or knowingly shielding that person.
For example, at the restaurant, that's a lot different from just having a relationship with someone. That's, providing them with the housing, that's part of the whole business of bringing in illegal workers because they're very cheap. And you know, you're really promoting illegal immigration, which is different from forming a relationship with someone who happens to be an illegal immigrant.
I think when the court speaks to promoting illegal immigration, I believe that that is a specific offense that's enumerated in a different subsection of 8 U.S.C. 1324.
Yeah, but your problem is if you're just treating harboring as a synonym for concealing, you're going to be in trouble, right?
Yeah, you have to give us some different meaning
for
it.
You haven't thought about that, yeah.
Well, I have given it a lot of thought, Your Honor, and I think
you haven't come up with anything.
Well, I would suggest that the fact that the harbor provision is contained in the subsection, which also speaks to concealing and shielding from detection.
You're back to the broken record. you're saying that harboring is concealing.
I'm suggesting that harboring is providing some sort of clandestine shelter.
Clandestine is concealment, right? Clandestine is secret, is concealed.
Well,
so why couldn't harboring? You know, why couldn't harboring be open?
Right.
Protection of somebody, like some of these people who hole up in a church or something. Everybody knows they're there, so it's not clandestine. But the church is saying, we're giving so-and-so, you know, asylum. Don't come in and drag them away.
Well, I think that when you look at the purpose of the statute, which is to prevent illegal aliens from entering or remaining in the United States, the only way that people who are here illegally can remain in the United States is if their presence is secret or hidden.
No, that's not true.
Well, it can be ignored, and I think it's just ignored.
Of course, the latest count or latest estimate, 11 million illegal immigrants in the United States, right? So obviously, you know, they're tolerated. People employ these people, you know, to work in their houses. They know they're illegal.
Well, Your Honor, I think that's actually a good point. Assuming that there are 11 million illegal aliens in the United States, it's virtually certain that American citizens will have contact with those illegal aliens. And I don't believe that the broad interpretation suggested by the government or that it would be merely sheltering was intended, because what that then does is it goes on to criminalize a lot of conduct that one would believe to be apparently innocent conduct.
Yeah, you're saying, well, everybody does it, so it must be okay. I'm sure there are a lot of people staying with someone who are, by at least my definition, being harbored.
Your Honor, with all due respect, I don't think that that's what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that this court ought to attribute a meaning to harbor in the statute, which effectuates the purpose of the statute. And I don't think the purpose of the statute was to criminalize a broad range of conduct. And we mentioned...
Look, if you use cash, which people do, you know, a lot of probably illegal people use cash. That's illegal. But you say, yeah, but everybody does it, which is true. A lot of people do work for cash.
Well, Your Honor, I can assure you, whatever my argument is this morning, it's not that it's okay because everybody does it. I just think that a reading of the statute, which would criminalize having a friend over who you may know to be here illegally for lunch, that I think under the broad construction that the government suggests, if I have that person over to my home, then I think, understanding the court's questioning of me this morning, that the court would say, well, when he came over to your home this morning, he was shielded from detection, or he was concealed for the 45 minutes that he ate with you, and so you're guilty of a federal offense. And with all due respect, I think that broad reading of the term harbor is absurd, and it leads to results that wouldn't be, weren't intended to fall within the statute.
When she threw him out of the house, which happened periodically apparently, and he went with either the brother or the cousin or whatever, would they be harboring?
I think it would depend on the specific facts. No, not simply giving someone a place to stay if you're trying to conceal that fact.
She threw him out, so now, and of course we know these people are involved in crime, which, you know, the brother, there's a lot more to this case, but we're trying to just focus on where he is, where he's staying, and is that harboring?
Well, I don't think, again, merely staying at a relative's house would be harboring. And as far as
they know he's illegal, and they're.
The question being, are they trying to conceal the fact that he's at their home?
Maybe they just want to make sure he's still available to go sell drugs. But whatever their reason for keeping him in there, he is, in fact, sheltered.
I agree that they're providing shelter. I don't agree that they're harboring him, though, within the meaning of the statute. If there are no further questions, I'll...
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Schultz. Mr. Killian?
May it please the Court. My name is Ramlai Killian. I represent the United States. I'm from the Southern District of Illinois. The court is apparently well-versed in the facts of this case, that the defendant, Deanna Costello, was a long-time, had long-time knowledge of the defendant, Rogelio Salacious Arenales, from 2003 through 2006.
How far do you push your case? Suppose you have a Mexican family, couple, married couple, and two children. They move to the United States. They're all illegal. So how many counts of harboring could you bring against the against each of the parents?
For each of the individual children or each of the individual folks? Well, as a hypothetical, if, for example, my daughter calls me and tells me that she's bringing...
I'll give you my hypothetical.
Well, with regard to your hypothetical, the number of harborings would be...
they're all illegal.
They're all illegal, so it would be one family that comes in.
It crisscrosses. It's actually a factorial of the number of people. The problem is, I mean, I think we've shown that there's some serious issues with Mr. Schultz's interpretation of the word harbor, but I think there are equally serious issues with your interpretation of it, because it seems to me, you know, when... As has happened, unfortunately, on a number of occasions, when my adult children have come back to live with me for various periods of time, apparently I'm harboring them because they're there in my house living. And I think your definition of harbor, which is equated to being in the house with, fails to capture the protective element of that word. And protection is different from concealment. Protection is different from shielding from detection. Protection is a separate kind of concept. And under the government's definition of this, I think in Judge Posner's case, you know, the husband could be charged with harboring the wife and the two children, and the wife could be charged with harboring the husband and the two children, and each of the children could be charged with harboring the husband and the wife and their sibling. And you would have a very huge indictment and lots of counts. And I don't really like arguments of, trust us, we wouldn't do something so silly, because we've been shown over and over again that that really leads to a world in which the rule of law itself doesn't prevail. It's pure prosecutorial caprice.
With regard to your requirement that there be protection, the government would... simply submit that at the time the legislative history on this statute.
But is this the government's
position, Your Honor? The government's position, Your Honor, for purposes of harbor, the government would suggest that the definition is shelter. Now, some courts have had
the example I give. This would be harboring.
That would be harboring, Your Honor.
And all of those.
Now, there are 11 million of these people. So, how many harborers do you think there are?
If there are 11 million, the number of folks who are harboring those individuals, when Congress drafted
they're harboring each other. And so, how many harborers do you think are in the country at this moment?
That would be impossible.
A couple of million.
It would be a very high number, Your Honor.
Millions, probably. How many prosecutions of harborers are there a year?
I do not have that.
Where there's no financial gain. I mean, the interesting thing is subparagraph B1 does provide for a more significant
penalty
when there's commercial advantage or private financial gain, which clearly picks up the Chinese illegal restaurant workers.
Could you submit us a list of the number of prosecutions of harborers last year?
Is the court requesting that I submit that?
Yes.
I would be happy to try to get
that
to Your Honor.
You have you've got a lot of dictionary stuff in your brief, but a weakness of dictionaries, they're not good at indicating actual usage. So I have a hypothetical. I have a question, a challenge for you. Suppose you did a Google search of harboring fugitives, okay? And suppose you also did a search of harboring victims, or harboring friends, or harboring guests, or harboring victims of disaster, victims of persecution. What do you think would be the ratio of harboring fugitives to, you know, these sort of benign harborings, victims, guests?
I would suspect the harboring fugitive would be much higher, Your Honor.
How much higher?
70, 75%, 80%.
Well, you're not that close. So harboring fugitives gets you 50,800 Google hits. Harboring victims gets you 114. That's a lot more than 75%. Isn't it true that harboring, as used today, it has a negative connotation? And as far as I know, that was true in 1917 and 1952.
Does it have a negative connotation?
Nobody uses it anymore as a synonym for shelter. You harbor suspicions, you harbor criminals, you harbor fugitives. But you don't harbor good people.
Well, Your Honor, this case obviously is.
You don't harbor your husband or your spouse or your children. No one says that, right?
Well, I believe Congress said that in 1959.
No. Why do you say that? Do you think they're actually looking at dictionaries, or are they thinking of the overtones of the words?
I'm thinking that the number one reason people can come to the United States illegally is because they have shelter to go to. The number one reason that they stay in the United States is because they have shelter to protect them.
So then I'm sure you have a really vigorous program of enforcing against these, you know, 2 million harborers.
No, Your Honor, I would not say that. However, as in the court noted in Yee, there is the factor that the court will leave to the discretion of the executive which of these cases to pursue.
But Judge Wood raised an important point. I mean, suppose we had a situation which said, suppose the Justice Department said, look, it is a crime to be at least 21 years old. Okay? So we have, you know, 200 million criminals. But, of course, we use our prosecutorial discretion. We don't prosecute all these people. That would be unacceptable, wouldn't it?
I would agree with that, Your Honor.
And, in fact, there's a real-life example of that, because all these loitering statutes have been through much the same screen, and many of them have been struck down because they're simply too vague and broad and leave too much discretion.
Other courts, Your Honors, is the second, the ninth, have also looked and used the definition of shelter. Those courts have used the substantially facilitated.
You're making the mistake of looking at dictionary definitions rather than actual usage of words, because dictionaries will, you know, they'll have a whole list of definitions, and some of them are no longer being employed or very, very rarely. And so when people think when they use the word, they only use, maybe boat people use it, but they only use it when you're harboring something bad.
Of course, Your Honor, the court's questions have focused on the definition of harbor, and the district court did find that the definition of harbor meant to shelter. However, it is very important for purposes of this appeal that the court take into consideration what the court went on to find, that it wasn't just shelter, it was shelter, and the court said the defendant's actions amounted to substantial assistance because she made his illegal presence in the United States easier and facilitated his avoidance from detection, because not only did she know that that he had been deported because of criminal violation, when he returned to the United States, she went and picked him up in a different state and drove him
10 miles
to her residence.
But was that to evade capture or what?
It wasn't to conceal, no, Your Honor.
No. So what is that adding to harboring? How is that different from just, you know, my original question? You have children, you bring them to the United States, you're all illegal, so you're harboring. What did she do that was worse than that?
The question would be is if when Congress drafted the statute, did it intend
Your view is it's totally mindless. And they made millions of people criminals with a 5-year maximum sentence without any thought.
I disagree, Your Honor. I think that the Congress, when it passed the Harbor Statute,
complained to the Justice Department. It's not enforcing this law adequately. It's letting all these millions of people live with their children and so on.
With regard to the court's finding, the government would ask once again that the court consider the actual findings of the district court, that it wasn't just merely harboring or shelter.
I don't understand what you mean by it wasn't merely harboring. What does that mean?
Drove
him in the car?
No, Your Honor. All I'm saying is that the factual finding of the district court was not simply...
What is the difference between the facts here and the facts in the cases we've given you? It's her boyfriend, and he lives with her from time to time. What more is there to it?
She knew that he had been deported for a criminal violation.
She knows he's an illegal alien. What difference does it make whether he's deported and come back? All right, now I know she knows he's a criminal as well as an illegal alien. She could be prosecuted for harboring a fugitive, right? Or...
He was not a fugitive.
But he's a criminal, right? So she could be, maybe you could prosecute her as a criminal's accomplice. That's not the harboring statute. You don't require harboring a criminal to prosecute under this, right?
Your Honor.
Someone escapes from prison and goes back home or goes with some friend. What do you call that?
That would be harboring a fugitive, Your Honor.
Harboring.
That would be harboring a fugitive.
Again, with that negative overtone.
Well, it's a negative.
But this defendant, this individual was not a fugitive.
Hides out at somebody else's house. You can call it what you want, something else. But they call it harboring. It's a different statute.
It is a different statute.
Yeah, and here we have a legal citizen, someone who has every right to live in her house, and her boyfriend comes back. She picks him up and lets him stay in her house. Now, I look at a house as a place that's private and safe. Safe from anybody barging in and accusing him. Now, I admit, these people did a lot of other things. They're criminals, they're in drug business.
It certainly gives an aspect of protection.
However, what happens when they get caught, the person who led him, who sheltered, harbored him, has been identified as someone who committed a crime. Now, she only got probation, and maybe that, but it's a deterrence, is it not? Isn't that an identification? Don't do that.
It is a deterrent.
A lot of people are doing it.
It is, and the number that do it does not make it right, as we've heard previously.
Nobody knows about this law. Come on.
Well, they find out about it when they're prosecuted.
But how many of the 2 million are prosecuted, right?
The Justice
Department never publicizes the laws, right? You never go around warning, saying, you know, you may not have heard of this law, but better be aware of it. Justice Department never does that, right?
Has
the Justice Department ever try to communicate either the existence of criminal norms or the severity of sentences to the public?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor. I have no idea with regard to that. However, I do agree that with regard to the illegal number of illegals, aliens who come into the United States, that the thing that they need most to conceal them, to give them protection, to allow them to stay in the United States is shelter. That's the number one thing. Now, with regard to the term harbor, the government would suggest that harbor does, in fact, mean shelter, because that's what Congress was trying to stop, a flood of illegal aliens who have shelter in the United States, who can stay here because of that shelter. I see that my time is nearly expired. I would simply ask that the court affirm the district court's opinion if there are no further questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Killian.
Thank you.
Mr. Schultz, do you have anything further?
Your Honor, I just wanted to point out briefly in reference to the hypothetical concerning the fact that the defendant knew that her boyfriend had returned from Mexico, and so that arguably she was harboring a fugitive. The fugitive statute, 18 U.S.C. 1071, strangely enough, with the interpretation of harbor in 8 U.S.C. 1324A, she would be guilty of harboring an illegal alien, but she would not be guilty of harboring a fugitive, because this court has interpreted harbor in the fugitive statute to mean, and I quote, to lodge, to care for after secreting the offender. And so in your hypothetical, she would not be guilty of harboring a fugitive. And I think there's reason that the court's interpretation of harbor in that statute should inform its interpretation of harbor in the statute at issue, because that statute obviously has a similar purpose to the one that our...
You're saying he's not a fugitive.
No, I'm saying that even assuming he is a fugitive...
Why assume that he's not?
Well, I was just referencing the judge's hypothetical. I guess what I'm suggesting is that if he were a fugitive, she would still not be guilty of harboring a fugitive, absent there being some evidence that she attempted to secret his presence at her residence.
Only even if she knew he was a fugitive, just escaped from prison.
That's correct.
If she knew, he'd say, yeah, you can stay in my house.
The government would have to stay
out. Harboring.
The government would have to, correct, not with the way harboring has been interpreted by this court in 18 U.S.C. section 1071. I see I'm out of time. I would ask that this court reverse the finding of the district court. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And we thank the defenders for undertaking this defense. We thank Mr. Kill.